Okay, cool. So I'm just going to introduce everyone. So first we have Jeanette McKevitt, and then my wonderful mama, Kathy, is going to speak, and then Bruce, and then Rachel, and kind of just in a bit of a celebration towards Waitangi Day. But yeah, I'll give it to you guys.
Thank you. My name's Jeanette. Hi, I'm one of the eldership team here, and it's my very great pleasure to talk to you today. Lovely to meet some new people this morning as well. Just before I start my talk proper, I'd like to acknowledge Dave Mann and his website, All Together New Zealand. He's got a lot of resources up there, and I just encourage you. There's a lovely heritage question and answer portion, and you can ask all the questions you were dead scared to ask about the treaty, race relations in New Zealand, all those things. He's got great answers, great theologians, comes across a lot of Maori and different ethnicities who are talking about the treaty. So, I don't know about you, but I love learning about people, what makes them tick. That's probably why I was an occupational therapist, a little bit nosy or something. But just what their background is and what makes them who they are. And so my talk today is about Te Pihi. And I just loved reading about him. He was a lesser known Maori chief back in the day. And I'd like to suggest that he was a cultural bridge builder, a very brave man. And I'd like to just talk to you about him today. My scripture comes from 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. Te Pihi was one of the senior chiefs of the northern western Bay of Islands. He was the son of Warirau of Ngāti Awa, the original people of the area, and their Ngāpuhi conquerors. This combination gave him great mana over the land and its people. Te Pihi laid a foundation for the bridge between Māori and Pākehā that made the first planned European settlement possible. Here is a picture of Te Pihi. He was a commanding, impressive fellow, nearly 6 foot tall, 1.8 metres, which must have been, he must have seemed like a giant to the people of the time, because most European blokes of the day were 15 to 25 centimetres shorter than that. He was athletic, strong, and a fierce, effective warrior. And as we'll learn through the story, he was also a visionary leader, highly intelligent, inquisitive, and shrewd. In 1791, the first whale was caught in the Pacific. And for the next 10 years, there was enormous amount of activity in that arena. The whalers were making good use of Sydney as their port to obtain refreshments for their men. And then they started coming to Aotearoa. Governor King, who was in New South Wales, had heard many accounts from the whalers, whaler masters who'd visited New Zealand, that they found Maori good to trade with. In addition to supplying quality food, Maori traders went on board, went the extra mile, and assisted in getting their cargoes of oil organised. Many vessels came to the Bay of Islands, and at that point, there had been no altercations. So Governor King saw the support of an influential chief like Te Pihi as vital to boost the whaling business operation around New Zealand, and he decided to become a partner. He also gave him gifts. In 1805, Te Pihi in turn decided to visit this important Pākehā chief in Sydney, and that's where his bravery comes out. Man, I thought that must have been such a brave thing to do, not knowing what kind of reception he would get. The governor king treated him as a dignitary and hosted him and one of his sons, the other, I don't know where the others went to, but anyway, at government house for 3 months. And he visited all sorts of sheep runs and cattle stations, and just all manner of technologies he was exposed to over that time. Tepehi made a big impression on the governor and his circle of colleagues and friends, and amongst them was the Reverend Samuel Marsden, the colony's chaplain. Tepehi was very interested in the teachings of Jesus, especially the message to show mercy and forgiveness for your enemies. Tepehi attended church and was drawn to the positive message and grew in his understanding of the Christian teachings. They discussed setting up a school and a church alongside agricultural and technological training. To ensure a safe return of Tepehi and his sons, King put at his disposal the Lady Nelson, and he arrived home with his many acquisitions, including the gift of a prefabricated house. This was the first house of its kind in New Zealand. Late in 1809, so 4 years later, the Boyd called at Whangaroa to load spars, that's the masty bit that you put the rigging on. On the third day of that stay there, the Boyd was taken by Maori and the crew massacred. There were only 3 or 4 survivors. The cargo was plundered and the ship burnt to the waterline. Tepehi was accused, but history reveals falsely, and he later died of injuries related to this tragedy. Many believe that the real reason for the Boyd attack was jealousy over Tepehi's prefabricated house and his favoured trading position. Samuel Marsden was devastated to lose such a fine and noble friend. Tepehi is remembered as a chief who understood mercy. He's also remembered as a great trader and as an influential Māori who began the work of bringing 2 very different cultures together under God's rule. As a footnote, Ruatara was the next chief of Ngāpuhi, and he was the one who later in 1814 invited Samuel Marsden to preach and set up the mission school. Samuel Marsden's missionaries translated the treaty into Māori. So you can see that Tepehi actually was the bridge. He was the founder. For his people to know and trust Pākehā, and they learnt a great deal from each other. One out of this relationship, the gospel, the good news, was brought to our shores and embraced enthusiastically by Māori to start with. At one point, over 50% of Māori in New Zealand, and they were, don't forget, they were the dominant culture of the time. There were a lot more of them than Pākehā, were followers of Jesus. I thank the Lord for trailblazers like Tepehi, and I hope you've enjoyed hearing a little bit about him and maybe inspired to go onto the website and get some more resources to learn more about our history. Thank you.
Good morning. So I'm Kathy. So I'm going to start with a disclaimer. And that is, so first of all, kia ora, kia rana, good morning. I am not Māori. I'm Cook Island Māori, which is Kuki Irani, and I can only speak from my journey and perspective because I am a learner. This is my basic pepeha. Tēnā koutou, ko Kathy o, nō whakatiki o, tēnā koutou katoa. So greetings, my name is Kathy, I live in Upper Hutt, greetings to you all. When Dean asked if I could speak for 5 minutes about the church leading the way as examples of love and reconciliation between Māori and non-Māori, and ultimately all the different people groups in our congregation, I thought, wow, that's huge. And there are so many angles. I've chosen to talk a little bit on the path to unity and understanding from my experience and journey, and hopefully there will be some points that you can relate to and maybe some opportunities to grow. So I was born to a young Cook Island woman who put me up for adoption, and I was adopted into a European family. Lovely people, happy childhood, but interesting experience. Based on the colour of my skin, I was singled out at school for special opportunities and help, the assumption being that I needed this support and that I was different. 2 to 3 years ago, God showed me a picture when I was praying about revival in New Zealand and asking him what the keys were. And the picture he showed me is, you know those drones that sweep through and do these really fast-paced pictures? Well, he showed me a picture of a drone sweeping the whole country, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit sweeping over New Zealand and doing what God wanted. And the impression I had was the key to this move was with the Indigenous peoples, which is Māori. When Kristen Williams was visiting with us maybe a year or so ago, I spoke to him about this and just sort of said, what do you think? And he said that he believed it was spot on, and that he had a number. He had been praying, and a number of the people that he was in contact with, and they had similar revelations about Māori and the move of God in New Zealand. I really enjoyed the time last year when we had Piripi and the team come, and we just sort of hung out and did things with them. But I loved their message of unity and reconciliation between Māori and non-Māori. Now, there were no, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do it this way, and then we're going to do that, and then we're going to do this, because it's evolving and it's a journey. At New Wine last year, I felt prompted to get Shirley to pray for me, because many years ago my birth mum had said, learn te reo and then I'll teach you Cook Island Māori, because I was interested in understanding, after I had met them 24 years ago, a little bit about my roots. So last year, I enrolled in Te Wānanga o Raukawa in Ōtaki and did a six-month course. Very steep learning curve. It wasn't just like this, it was like this. I had no idea what anyone was saying. I was just thrown in the deep end. We had German, Spanish, French, Māori and various European and New Zealanders in the course, and they were so gracious and encouraging. And this year I plan to keep learning, and I'm also going to go to Arongamai to practice conversational Māori. Now, why am I telling you this? Because on reflection, I had to think about what were the barriers and the threats I felt, and what has this experience taught me? So my children and grandchildren had the benefit of te reo as part of their education. So they can pronounce names, they've got, well, one of them's fluent in Māori, another one's pretty close, and they've got lots, they're comfortable with Māori language and a little bit of knowledge about culture. But in my generation, not a mention. Probably the only thing we ever heard was haka, because of rugby, maybe waiata occasionally with songs. And also in this generation, in my generation, many cultures, including Māori and Pacific Island, stopped teaching their children their language because it was promoted you need English in order to do well in New Zealand. So there's generations, at least two or three, that have actually lost that connection. So barriers that I experienced, the first one when I thought about it was fear. So I've often been thrown into positions with my job where I've been asked to do karakias, or there has been an expectation because of the colour of my skin that I can say or do things. I had no idea. So there was fear of the unknown, and what was I supposed to do and how was I supposed to act. There was fear about new ideas and change and maybe seeing things differently. There was fears about mispronunciation and offending someone, and I hope I don't today. That is not my heart. And also fear about around dismantling incorrect assumptions. I loved Trevor's example last week. It made me smile about what Jesus might look like. Who had trouble incorporating that into your preconceived idea of Christ? I did. It didn't fit for my romanticized view of what Christ might have looked like. This was an example of looking at things differently through learning new information. Another thing I reflected on was embarrassment. The position of a beginner. Starting somewhere, looking foolish, but slowly gaining some confidence and insight. Stumbling over learning. My 5-year-old grandson, Andrew, corrects my Māori pronunciation. He's bilingual. It's wonderful. I love it. He's very cute about it. Language and learning someone else's language is valuing their culture and their heritage. Approaching this with humility and openness builds respect, love, and understanding. Diversity is the amazing way that God has created us. Valuing and appreciating our differences brings richness to our lives. In 1 Corinthians 12:27 and Galatians 3:26-28, Christian unity is the result of God bringing together people of differing ethnicities, backgrounds, and social classes into one family or body by faith in Christ. Psalm 133:1-3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. Oil in the Bible often represents the Holy Spirit, and that's a beautiful picture of God pouring out his Holy Spirit and blessing. Let's be open to allowing God to work in us to be a witness of God's love and reconciliation in the church between Māori and non-Māori. Let's learn to embrace diversity and differences and celebrate this to bring understanding, respect and love. And I want to finish with a blessing. Kia tō, kia tato katoa, te atawhai o tō tato ariki. A ihu karaiti, me te aroha o te atua, me te whiwhinga tahitanga, ki te wairoa tapu, aki, 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 amene. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. You've laid a bit of a base for what I'm going to be talking about this morning. And as we all found as we did this, how do we do this in 5 minutes? But here goes. Okay. Title of my talk today is Your Hidden Glory in Creation. And you may quickly see that that's a line from the Brooke Fraser song, What a Beautiful Name. And it's a phrase I reflect on a lot. And reflecting on Waitangi Day and the peoples and the cultures who were involved in the signing of the treaty, that was the key thought that came to me, your hidden glory in what you created. Yeah, we see it most obviously in nature, David Attenborough and all those things, the ingenuity of God, but there's much more to it than that. But just before I go into that, just want to build on Kathy's reflection that our first one is that we're all one in Christ. We can see and agree with the word of God in Galatians 3. So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith, for all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, nor either slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And Romans 12 also, keep in mind the faith God has given to each of you. Each of us has one body with many parts, and the parts do not have all the same purpose. So also we are many persons, but in Christ we are one body, and each part of the body belongs to all the other parts. We all have gifts. They differ according to the grace that God has given to each of us. So we are, in Christ, all one, uniquely different, but all vital. In God, that's a given. I've only recently come to know and appreciate the beauty of the culture that God bestowed upon the Maori people. I'm actually one of those who simply didn't have much exposure to the culture. I went to Catholic schools who simply did not have many Maori students, and I cannot recall that there was much about our Indigenous people in the school curriculum of the 1960s and 70s. My sport was athletics, long-distance track and cross-country running. Very few Maoris did that. That's because God had given them all fast twitch fibres and they could run like the wind. And even when I was teaching, I actually didn't teach a core subject like maths or English or things like that. I taught economic studies, which was an option. So I didn't see many there, and not many Maori took up accounting or economics at their senior level. So I have to say it's actually been part of this church and having a role as an elder and overseer that has really opened my eyes to the rich ways and customs and practices given to them by God and here amongst us to appreciate both He, God, and the Maori people. Kathy mentioned Purupi Blake, who led the service when we had Matariki here last year, and he was a big part of the recent New Wine Festival that we went to a couple of years ago. He had a speaking slot, and he also had several soundbite type slots. The band played one of the worship sessions, and they put on a concert at lunchtime. He's a gifted man of God, as you probably have realised in him. In each of the sound bites, he presented a single Maori word. He dissected it, he explained its meaning, then its origin, and its purpose in the culture, then linked this always back to God. Everyone in the conference was hanging on his every word. And we loved it when they took the Matariki service last year. But for us in eldership and some others, we'd spent the day before the Saturday with all the people, the 20 of them that had come down, soaking in who they were and the how and the why of who they were. We heard their testimonies, how they're working hard to work out their own faith with fear and trembling. Things like the purpose of their mokos and the stories of their whānau that are also on their arms and different parts of their bodies. It was a really fascinating few hours. And I remember getting a glimpse of their close relationship with the land, the depth of their love and respect for the soil, the provider of food that was the sustenance of their life. Therefore, it must be cared for and looked after, and we must honour the gracious God who has given it to us. So too the water that he provides to bring that growth. It really moved me. Several years ago, I had the privilege of taking Joe Walker, who was a member of this church, taking this church service part of his tangi, which was held at the marae. It was actually the first tangi I'd ever been to, and I loved it. The poroporo aki, you know, the farewells to the one who has passed, was held the night before, and everyone gathers. The evening carries on until everyone who has had something to say, who has spoken or presented a waiata, honouring the person. It was such a cool way to farewell someone who has just passed. Again, I found it really moving. So how does this apply to your hidden glory in creation? Simply this. God created the earth, then created man in his image, and he instructed us to go forth and subdue it. As we went, he knew that as we went about that, we were going to discover the surprises and the treasures that lay amidst it. You know, I mentioned water before. God knew that one day our development would develop to the stage where water could be used to make something as powerful and unseen as electricity, which is stunning. The technology we have and that boggles our mind all comes from resources that were in the plans originated by him. And I'm sure some of you may have heard of the guy called George Washington Carver, who was renowned for the hundreds of uses and products that he discovered from the simple peanut. He laid the foundations. He let us loose to bring forth the potential in them. And for me, that doesn't just apply to the physical resources he made. I think it also applies to the variety of cultures that he's created, that he put a stamp in and uniqueness in it, and left it to us to find out more of who he is in the different peoples that he made. My life and my appreciation of who he is has been hugely enriched as I've learned what he has put into the Māori culture. Hidden glory in creation has been wonderful for me, certainly in part of taking a blinkered Pākehā view of the world I had until a few years ago. So I just want to say, Waitangi Day is an opportunity to reflect again that we are all one in Christ. All children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We're all part of one body, but different through the different gifts he's given us. We're all part of the glory hidden in creation. For us to appreciate both the Creator and what he has created in it as it continues to unfold before us. Thanks.
Kia ora, kia ora katoa katoa. Ko Tarawera toku maunga, ko Tarawera toku rautau, ko Te Arawa toku waka, ko Te Arawa toku iwi, ko Tuharangi toku hapu, ko Te Pakera toku marae, ko Watini Baro te whānau, ko Rachel toku ingoa, nō reira, tēnā koutou katoa. What an awesome morning it's been so far. And a lot of these, they all link in. I was thinking, Kathy, your message and mine could be interchangeable. But that's cool. I want to thank Pastors Dean and Gina and the elders for inviting me to share today. And especially as we head into Waitangi Day, which can be very emotive and very divisive for Māori and Pākehā alike. So when Dean asked me, I was like, whoa. I was like, Kathy, I was like, whoa, that's big. I don't know, Lord. Like, I was excited because I am proud to be Māori. But I was also like, what do you want me to do, Lord? I'm kind of on a journey myself. And so that's what I thought I would share today, some of my personal story and my journey on learning Māori reo, because I'm an absolute beginner, and also about my journey for Te Ao Māori. So today I started with my pepeha. And I learned something, and I'm going to share it to you. So here's our education for the day. Okay. This is a quote from the educator and linguist Kerry Opai from his expert on tikana, and it's talking about the pepeha. So in essence, the pepeha is an introduction for any person and their affiliations in a Māori context for one purpose, to make connections. And I'm emphasising this because most people mistakenly think that the pepeha is all about introducing yourself. This pepeha has developed out of a need in an ever-expanding world to connect with others of the same iwi, hapu, whānau or rohe. For many Māori people who are not strongly connected to Te Ao Māori, this is one of the mechanisms to reconnect with those kinships and to feel a sense of belonging. And for sure, that's part of my journey in this. So the pepeha actually follows the pattern of maunga and then awa and then iwi, hapu, marae and then yourself, because it is actually following the life cycle of water, because as Bruce said, Māori connect with the land, and that it's that life cycle of water that we are connecting with. So the mau and maunga actually means to catch or hold, and so the maunga, we start with that because it catches and it holds the water, and it catches it, the snow, the hail, the rain, which eventually forms the awa, the rivers and the lakes. And we travelled on our waka to get here, so that's next. And it nourishes the people, and that's where we share our iwi and our hapu. And then finally ourselves, and it goes big picture right down to you. So yeah, the water nourishes the people, but also inevitably evaporates and returns to the sky. And so the cycle begins again with the next generation. So now about my journey. So I don't want to cry, but I'm a crier. Okay. if I had to use one word to describe what it's like being Māori in New Zealand, I'd say uncomfortable. For me, my dad, I was adopted, like Kathy, I was adopted at birth. I had a Scottish mum and a Māori dad, and I did manage to meet them, but I was adopted into the Wātini whānau. So my dad was Māori, he's Ngāpuhi, and my mum was English. If my dad was alive, he'd be 95 years old. And he taught us to get along the white man's world. Māori was redundant. He went to school, when he went to school, he got beaten for speaking Reo. So he had a shame about it, even though he could speak it, he could understand it, but he didn't want it for us. So I found that I wasn't quite white enough for some people, and I wasn't quite brown enough for others. My children would disagree. They think I'm quite white looking. Rude. But I identify as Māori. All right, okay. So I saw growing up, I saw racism against my dad. I saw my brothers beaten up simply for being brown, coming home beaten because they're Māori. I have seen, even as an adult, my children, some of them are browner than others as well, and I've seen people walk around the shops watching them because they're brown. On the other side, on the flip side, I have felt shame that I didn't know the traditions or the languages of my people. And even in the church, there's been this kind of uncomfortable partnering between Māori and the church. And I think part of it, if we're honest, stems from the fact that in the past, the church and religion was used to help colonise Māori. But that is at odds with what God says in his word. So in Galatians 3 and 8, it's about equality, but also we are uniquely created in God. And it says, is it not obvious to you that persons who put their trust in Christ, not persons who put their trust in the law, are like Abraham, children of faith? It was all laid out beforehand in Scripture that God would set things right with the non-Jews by faith. Scripture anticipated this in the promise to Abraham that all nations will be blessed in you. All nations. Thank you, God. So as an adult, I met my birth whānau and, importantly, my birth dad. And I saw another side to being Māori. He was proud to be Māori. He wanted to empower Māori people. He was an educator. In fact, he educated internationally. He wanted to empower all Indigenous people to be who they were created to be and to help and, you know, step out and help others, which was amazing to see. And I love the heart of it. And we did have it growing up, I have to say, in our household. You know, the heart of being Māori, it's love others, care for each other, serve. That's why it's so easy to slip into the church. So my journey began to know a side of myself that had been ignored or closed off. And it has been important for me. It is important for my children. It is important for my mokopuna one day. And so now I am learning very, very slowly. I am a beginner going on this journey. And as Kathy said, you have to be humble, man, because our kids, they can pronounce it and I overthink it and I say it wrong and I am constantly corrected by my taku tamariki. Kia ora. But that's okay. Keep trying. I would encourage you. Keep trying. Keep going. You'll get there. I know I will eventually. I've done courses. I did Te Atarangi, which is the conversational kōrero at the marae last year. And I naively thought, oh, yes, I'm going to go and then I'll be able to talk. And a year, no, absolutely not. It's like, oh, my goodness, talk about feeling special. But it's okay. It's you know, if you want to take a destroy a culture, take its language away from it. And so when you learn, if you're a linguistics, if you learn the language, you learn about the culture and the people. And that's why Reo is so important to me. What is the Reo in church? It is the word of God, right? If we know the word of God, then we know the heart of God. We know our culture. If you don't know the word of God, if you don't know your Reo, then you're missing something. And that's how I felt about my language. So it's a cool journey to go on. Recent changes in New Zealand have seen what looked like attacks, creating division around Te Tiriti o Waitangi and even on the language itself. And at face value, if I'm honest, it's upsetting and it makes me angry. But God. What the devil wants to use for division is an opportunity for God to use for unity. And we have a part to play in it, church. Yes, we are in partnership together, Māori and non-Māori. The treaty was a gift. It is a covenant, and we know that God is a God of covenants. You know, you look in the Bible, and even when his people broke the covenant, God never broke his covenant. He honours them. And as Piripi said last year, you know, it is our reo, and it is our treaty. So we need to pray for restoration. And we need to pray that God will have his way in Aotearoa and that there will not be division and strife. Growing up, oftentimes we were taught to kind of put our culture, I don't know, specifically Māori for some strange reason, put it aside when you come into church. But I love what the Bible says. You know, God created us. We all come from somewhere, right? We all have that flavour. And it's really important that we bring it in and we be who God created us to be. And in Revelations chapter 7, verses 9 to 12 say, I looked again. I saw a huge crowd, too huge to count. Everyone was there. All nations and tribes, all races and languages. And they were standing, they were dressed in white robes, and they were waving palm branches, standing before the throne and the Lamb, and heartily singing, salvation to our God on his throne, salvation to the Lamb. Amen. Imagine that. It'd be awesome in all those different languages. So that's some of my story. I hope it blesses you today, and I want to leave you with this beautiful waiata. Thank you to Vernie for introducing it to me. It's touched my heart, and I pray that it touches yours today. Kia ora.